First of all, thank you for all being here this morning. It was a bit of a trial, some of you getting here. Today we are in the second Sunday after Epiphany. Epiphany tide, which you're being reminded often this year, is about the showing forth of God, the showing forth in many different ways. And sometimes we church folks use the word epiphany, lots of other people don't, but when we have amazing ideas or something comes over us all of a sudden, and I know that happens to all of us all the time. It's fascinating that in today's gospel, John the Baptist tells us that the epiphany was that this is Jesus. He had no idea who Jesus was when he met him, when he baptized him. And it is only now, as John is telling the story to everyone, that he's really realizing, I think, who Jesus is and what the importance of that is to him and to those who follow him and to the world. Sometimes epiphanies come when we least expect them. When I was sitting at home on one of those dark early January days, there's been a few of those lately, just before the actual day of Epiphany, I all of a sudden realized I needed to shake things up in my life, and I needed to not do my normal routine, which is to take all my holidays in August and just do whatever I do in August. And I realized that it was time to go on a long walk. So I'm taking a couple of weeks in June as my part of my vacation, and I'm going to walk from Porto in Portugal to Santiago in Spain. Some of you have probably done it. Oh, thank you. Oh, don't clap until I actually make it. 260 kilometers, 12 days of walking, 25 kilometers a day. Need to start now, which is good. I walked this morning to church. Good thing. But the idea is that I knew that there was something I needed to change. And it really was an epiphany. I had thought about doing something like this a long time, but why now? No idea. Why right this year? Just needed to do it. So within hours, I had already signed up for my credential that you need. I had started to research. You may not know this about me, but I am a gearhead. I love researching outdoor gear. So this is right up my alley. And so I went off, and a bit spontaneously, because that also happens with me, I realized I had no backpack that was suitable for this journey. So I went in after the January sales and bought myself this beautiful backpack. It's gorgeous, red, just beautiful. It's great. So I brought it home and put it in the cupboard, and then I kept bringing it out and looking at it. In our family, you're allowed to leave any new gear purchases in your bedroom the first night. Skis, kayaks, doesn't matter. It's actually true. And the next morning, only one night, and not in bed with you, just leaning against the wall. So the next morning you can wake up and enjoy all of the excitement there is about what that represents, right? About an activity that you're gonna do. So that's all fine. But as a couple of weeks passed and I was researching, I realized to my horror this weekend that I should try this pack with some weight in it. Because I'm going to carry a fair bit of stuff, probably. So I threw in some hand weights that I had and started walking around my apartment. The weather was too bad to go outside. And I realized I was already in pain. My place is about 1,200 square feet. So I, yesterday, thought, this will never do. I had a second epiphany. I've got to exchange this backpack. So I came home with a much more reasonable backpack. And it's lovely, it's not red, but oh well. But it fits, and it's the right size, and it's gonna hold everything I need and probably more, and it's comfortable, and I know I'll be able to walk with this pack. The epiphany that happened when I exchanged it yesterday is that I'm no longer 25. The backpack I bought 2 weeks ago was for a 25-year-old. Fit, young, agile Beth, not the who will be 54-year-old, not as agile, definitely not young, and certainly not as fit, person who will be attempting to walk 260 kilometers. And that's the way it is in our lives, isn't it? The obvious things, the things that we should be able to see, don't often come to us until they come like a blinding flash of light. And as I walked through my apartment with my lighter backpack and the weight in the back yesterday, I thought, well, it's come to this. I have to resize my life to fit who I am. I can dream about being 25, but it's never happening again. 45 isn't happening again. And so that is the way we are, I think, in our lives, and that is the way we are certainly in our faith as well. Today we're having a visioning potluck after church, and just conversations to talk about where we're going to go from here, because I'm sure many of you have read or heard about the article about how if the church's membership continues as it has on the same trajectory, there will be no Anglican church in 2040 in Canada, according to the statistics. Now, I don't believe that there will be no Anglican church in Canada in 2040 because I look out and see all of you faithful faces, and not all of you will be here in 2040, but many of you will. The thing about that is that we have choices about our size and our shape and our realistic expectations and our vision. And it's time that we right-sized ourselves, much like my backpack, for the journey that is ahead, which is a different kind of journey than the one we've been on, in some ways. My younger colleagues and some of you here, and even myself included, do not remember full churches. I did not grow up in a full church, and my colleagues certainly haven't. And all of those who are called to ordination these days, many of them are younger, and they certainly were raised in a church that is like it is now. And we forget that as an institution. We think, many as an institution, that we're still full. Gordon and I have this argument all the time. Where is he? There he is. He always sees the church full. Even during the week, he sees it hustling and busy, and I'm going, Gordon, no. He sees 40 members in the choir. I say, there are 25, Gordon. There are 25 most Sundays. And that's the way we are in the church. And that's good that we have those memories and we feel that fullness of our faith. But it's not the way we are now. And it's not the way we're going to be, most likely. When John baptized Jesus, there was no church. And in that lesson today, we hear about the beginning of the call of the disciples. That's more where we're at. Except we have the advantage of all the history and all the things we've been through together and sometimes apart, and the blessing of God throughout all of that that is still with us today. There's lots of room for hope and faith and delight and blessing. It just might be a different size, a different fit than what we had maybe hoped or expected it to be. Isaiah says, "Listen to me, O coastlands, pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me." And it goes on to say, "It is too light a thing that you should just be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel." Does that sound familiar? It's too light a thing to think that you can just carry on the way you are and restore all those who don't go to church anymore. "I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." Our call hasn't changed. The fact that we were created in God's image and in before we even knew who we were hasn't changed. That the world needs hope and light and love and the example of an intergenerational caring community hasn't changed. And the fact that people still get touched and moved unexpectedly with epiphanies and experiences through relationships with people of faith hasn't changed. The fact that people want to explore their spirituality has actually increased. And laughter hasn't gone away. And joy. And I think that's one of the dangers of this age, is when you read articles that say we're not going to be here in 2040, yes, there should be grief and some sadness about that. But there is also opportunity and the joy that we have in seeing that ahead of time. There's a lot for us to do. And so I hope that today you'll be able to join us. I'm going to announce this later, but we're going to have another one next week, I think. A lot of people can't be here today, so we'll have a second shot. So if you come up with some excellent ideas during the week, you can bring them next week as well. But we have the call. We have the ability, we have the faith, we have the resources, actually, to be the right-sized church for our current society. But sometimes it takes putting on the wrong size for a little while and feeling the pain and the inability before you know what you really have to do to downsize. But it's not even downsize, is it? It's right size. In that hymn we just sang, which was Clay inspired, Gordon always chooses great hymns, and with the people summoned together to be the church in which faith is sown, I make my promise to live for Jesus and let the world know all are his own. That, if anything, is still an epiphany for us. And so may we have the grace and the courage and the joy and the hope and the faith to be here in 2040 and many, many, many years to come. Blessings on all your epiphanies this Epiphany.